Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service. I'm Katie Watson. This week on assignment in the Cook Islands, we're taking a deep dive into the Pacific Ocean, more than 4,000 metres deep, in fact, to the bottom of the seafloor. I'm on Rarotonga, the largest of 15 islands that make up this Pacific nation. I'm standing near the shallow waters of the reef that form a ring around the island. This calm lagoon is where the blue Pacific becomes a bright turquoise. Cook Islanders live and breathe this ocean. They proudly call it the Moana. But as with many Pacific Island nations, these shores are threatened by the ocean too, as sea levels continue to rise. Some governments in this region are looking to the seabed to lift their people up. At the bottom of the Pacific here lie billions of round rocks, or nodules, packed full of metals needed for things like mobile phones and electric car batteries. Mining them is being sold as a solution to help move away from fossil fuels. For Cook Islanders, though, it's personal. For some, this is a potential path to future riches. For others, that could be outweighed by the risk of irreversible damage to their very identity, their moana. To get here, we flew 5 or so hours east from Sydney. It's about 3,000 miles away. In fact, if you look at the map, it's pretty much in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Meanwhile, it's another 4,500 miles on the other side to get to Los Angeles.
To our first ever at sea peaceful demonstration. We are asking for more time in this space for robust independent research, more time for our people to be made better aware of what potential risks might look like, so we can be in a position where we make informed decisions on how to proceed with this industry or not.
We've just boarded a traditional vaka or canoe, and it's a fiberglass catamaran but built in a traditional style. There are paddle boarders who've come out to join, and there's a massive banner which is about 10 meters wide, and it says protect our ocean, think deeply.
Kia ora, my name is Alana Matamaru-Smith. I am the current director of the Epipaerea Society, a local non-government environmental organisation based here in the Cook Islands. I'm an ocean lover, I'm a voyager, I love my sports. just a typical island girl, I would suppose. We want to show, you know, the world that there is actually opposition to deep sea mining here in the Cook Islands.
So when you say to the government, you know, much more needs to be done, what's their response?
We still feel like sometimes it can fall on deaf ears. We notice this when we do community consultations with our outer island communities, that they've only been made aware of the financial gains and not really what the potential risks would be from this industry. So I'm not sure how much progress really does get made when we're working with a government that's pretty invested into looking into the interests of deep sea mining in the Cook Islands. We're seeing infrastructure being put up here on Rarotonga currently for offshore mining companies to reside here. We've got draft mining regulations already in place. So, yeah, actions are speaking a lot louder than words at the moment.
Thank you, everyone. Me take my auto. See you back at shore.
Just down the road from the rally, an underwater minerals conference is taking place, bringing together industry and scientists. Also here are the three companies that the Cook Islands has given exploration licenses to. The Cook Islands wants to be a leader in the race to mine the sea floor, and this event is clearly part of that. It's a PR exercise, if you will, to show people what it's capable of.
Kia ora, everyone. I'm Lima Brown.
That's Rima Brown, a young Cook Islander who calls herself the poster child of deep sea mining as a bit of a joke,
But in all seriousness, she's absolutely embracing her country's drive to mine seabed minerals.
Usually what we're known as are small island developing states, but we like to really call ourselves large ocean states because, as you can see, while we're only about 200 square kilometres in land mass, we have an exclusive economic zone of almost 2 million square kilometres.
And what's that the equivalent of?
I think that's like seven times in New Zealand.
You're a young Cook Islander. The big topic of the day is climate change. With your friends, is there that dialogue?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the Pacific is most at threat when it comes to climate change. I mean, you have islands that are disappearing. And so for us, seeing that as a threat, we're trying to do the best that we can to sort of minimize these impacts. And then, of course, if we can collect these nodules sustainably, then that'll help definitely for the green transition.
It's a hot and sunny day here on Rarotonga, and we've come to the main port on the island. And we've boarded the Anuanua Moana, which is the research ship owned by Moana Minerals. It's one of three license holders here in the Cook Islands. Now, it's a huge ship that was originally in the oil and gas industry, and it's been adapted as a research ship.
So we're on the back deck, and this is our main work area. So you can see this is quite a large open space.
South African Hans Smit is the CEO of Moana Minerals.
So this vessel is set up to do a whole myriad of tasks, not only to check and test how many nodules exist on the seafloor, but also to look at the biota, all the various ecosystem parameters, water chemistry, conditions that exist in the water column. And when we launch and do a science package, we'll typically be on the bottom for between 30 seconds and 3 minutes, but we spend 6 hours getting there and getting back.
Wow.
So it takes a long time.
So how do you get those nodules off the ground to test?
So we have a couple of ways of sampling nodules. The first one is, the best way to explain it is a cookie cutter. You've got dough and you press a cookie cutter into it and you lift it out. And what's really important about that is it's undisturbed. So when we look at it at the surface, that's what it looks like on the seafloor.
The concern, though, if they start mining, is that this untouched area of the ocean will be disturbed. To scoop up the nodules on a large scale, a robot will come along the seafloor, hoovering up the rocks. The sand that's brought up as a byproduct will then be put back in the sea. And that's one of the concerns. How best to discard that material without disturbing marine life?
So you've got a bag?
I do. This bag is the nodules we collected back in 2019 when we did a research cruise using one of the local boats here in the Cook Islands.
So like giant gobstoppers, aren't they?
Yep. Marbles. They are predominantly round. What happens is they start drying out, and when they dry out, they get brittle, and then they break up into pieces like
this. Yeah, they're quite dusty, aren't they?
Yeah, it's because they're rusting, because they have a lot of iron in them, so they're oxidizing. And so the predominant metals, starting with the highest concentration, will be iron, followed by manganese. Then we get into cobalt, nickel, copper, and rare earths. These are a great source of cobalt, which is a real special metal that has a lot of incredible uses. There's only about 3 or 4 mines in the world that have cobalt at this concentration.
Cobalt's used in lithium-ion batteries that power things like electric cars. As demand for renewable energy increases, there's clearly lots of excitement about the commercial potential of these metal-rich nodules, but they're keen to emphasise other potentially positive side effects too.
The great thing about this vessel is we brought it here as a research vessel, but it's also done a lot of community work. It's run people out to the islands that don't have airstrips. We've run supplies.
Do you think that helps? Because obviously there are people here who want deep sea mining eventually. Others are very suspicious of it. Well, how much of a challenge is building that trust?
Building trust is, no matter where you are in the world, is a challenge. You know, you've got to win people over. What we find is that with people going out on the vessel and participating in these community programs that we do, it gives them an opportunity to engage with us one-on-one, and it allows them to demystify a lot of what's going on here. It's easy to get caught in the negatives, and it's not that I'm saying don't pay attention to the negatives. What I'm saying is don't use very small amount of negative and close your mind to everything. What we are finding is a lot of people that are anti are not prepared to engage.
But when is the science ever going to say go? They're always going to say this is not risk-free.
No. Nothing we do in life is risk-free. We have this lifestyle. This lifestyle has a price. If we don't want mining and we don't want to get all these metals, we need to stop doing just about everything we're doing. So if we want to have this lifestyle, we want our cell phones and we want our electric vehicles and the like, we need the metals. There are not enough metals to do that. We have to get new metals. So where are we going to find them? We are not setting out to destroy the ocean. We are not setting out to rape and pillage the ocean floor. We are going out there to do it in a long-term sustainable manner, getting the metals that allows us to go and address a really serious issue we have, and that is climate change. And if we don't address that, it's going to impact us all.
Hi, Prime Minister, how are you doing? You're not going on the field trip?
No,
I'll miss out. Yeah. Next time. It's a great visit.
That was the Prime Minister Mark Brown as we were coming off the Anua Nua Moana. It's interesting he was here. He was waving off the scientists and the researchers as they head off on their field trip. But it just shows how closely involved he is. Not only is he the Prime Minister of Cook Islands, he's also the Minister for Seabed Minerals. So he's heavily involved.
I got another chance to speak to the Prime Minister about his grand ambitions. He's having to work hard to convince those with reservations, especially because the country's up against growing international pressure to impose a moratorium on deep sea mining until more science is known. While the focus is on protecting international waters, where the biggest nodule deposits are found, the Cook Islands has a large amount of nodules within its own waters, and that means it could carry on regardless.
The Cook Islands, you've got coconuts, mangoes, fish. Why are polymetallic nodules, or in the past you've called them golden apples, why are they so important to the Cook Islands?
Well, they present a huge potential for our country, for a resource that our country would be able to share with the rest of the world. Countries like us, at the forefront of impacts of climate change, are struggling to find ways to build resilience against the increasing impacts of climate change in our countries.
So do you feel almost kind of frustrated that you're seeing the impacts, you think you're finding a way forward that's different, but yet people are saying this is risky, you shouldn't do it?
Oh, I think we're past frustration. We're looking for solutions. We know that for the last 20 years we haven't been able to get the financing from the larger emitting countries. So we've got to look to ways to how we can protect ourselves. And our seabed minerals provides an opportunity in this time for us to be able to look at how we can potentially exploit this resource. What COVID did to us was demonstrate that we cannot just rely on a narrow-based economy. Coincidentally, in 2020, we graduated to high-income status nation under the OECD. 2 months later, we closed our borders and we went from high income to no income. But it demonstrated to us the importance of diversification.
At what point do you kind of press the button? There will never be a kind of absolute certainty that this is going to be 100% green, no impact. At what point do you just say, right, let's get cracking?
I think any sort of activity you undertake, there will be an impact of some sort. And that's what the exploration phase is all about. We want to know what the environmental impacts will be. Those studies will be able to determine what will actually happen when we go down there. But in terms of when it will happen, again, we rely on the science to tell us that. And there are, within our regulations, within our laws, certain steps that must be undertaken by companies to prove to us certain things. I've heard these claims that it's a foregone conclusion, and that is totally misleading. It ignores, again, I'll go back to our legislation, the rules that guide our actions in this particular industry, in this emerging sector.
This is the documentary from the BBC World Service. This is Assignment with me, Katie Watson.
We're back at the port, this time with Alana, the environmentalist we met at the rally, and Rima, who's the self-declared deep-sea mining poster child. They're in training for a trip together on the Anua Nua Moana for the Women in Science expedition, so there'll be lots of time to talk through their perspectives.
This training exercise involves people jumping in the water and then trying to haul out of the water, one of the other members of the team. So it's a giant life raft, and there's an orange tent, what looks like a tent, on top of it. So each person has to play dead in the water, and then their colleagues have to try and get them into the raft.
The main goal of the expedition is for the trainees to come on board a boat, see what it looks like to go down, to actually conduct the research, so collecting samples.
There's two young Cook Islanders who have a different attitude towards the research and potential mining. How do you kind of square very different opinions in a community where a lot of people probably know each other? I'll start with Lana.
It is very tough, given it is a small community. People don't like to be seen, some, as being outspoken against government as well, but that's why we have people who can speak on behalf of others from within the community. You know, it's not just their voice alone, but it's many members of the community behind them. But at the same time, you know, it is close. We still love each other at the end of the day, and we respect one another despite what the outside world might think.
Yeah, well, like Alana said, we're a very small community here. Everyone knows everyone. You're related to everyone. We're very open, and we welcome, you know, what our people have to say, and whether or not their views are different, we want to have that dialogue with them.
I'll let you crack on and do the safety.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, TJ.
We've arrived on the side of the road in the south of the island. We had to get up at the crack of dawn. And we're doing the round Rarotonga road race. Now, some people got up even earlier, just heard some cheers there. Those are people who are doing the 31 kilometres all around Rarotonga, the whole island.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
We're running along the east of the island now. Been running 3 kilometres. Every so often there's a break in the palm trees and an amazing cool breeze comes through. We're running along the road because there's basically one main road around the whole island. And on my left is just the most spectacular mountain range, bright green, towering over the Pacific.
Thank you so much. Mini pause.
Oh, you made me want to stay here with this music. I've just got to the finish line and I've been greeted with a fresh coconut and star fruit. There's no better way to recharge. And the finish line is in the auditorium where the Underwater Minerals Conference was being held.
Kia ora, Anya. We'll see you around.
Kia ora, Anna. Matariki Wilson. So this is the Round Rarotonga Road Race and I'm the event manager for this.
We're standing in the auditorium where the Underwater Minerals Conference
Our event's been running for 47 years and we were here before they were. And we worked together with them though because we used some of their flowers for our decoration. So I had to get what I could from them, so I mined their flowers for my finish line. We're not going to waste, because that mining is for a wasteful culture. It's for a throwaway culture. We don't want cell phones or da-da-da. We want better education. We want better lifestyle.
Next stop is the Cook Islands Museum and Library. It's just around the corner from the auditorium. We've come to meet the curator, Jean Mason, who, as we walked in, thrusts a newspaper from the 1970s into my hands without so much as a hello.
I just found these for you. Newspaper articles. Point is, I want to say that we've been talking about this for 50 plus years. And it's not like we need a moratorium now. I think the moratorium time is over. Compared to what the rest of the world has done over centuries. You know, they destroy our atmosphere, and then they've got a nerve to tell us, oh, let's have a moratorium. Let's leave your stuff in the seabed and the ground, whereas we've done for generations, poisoned your planet, you know, and caused sea level rise and all the rest of it. And how dare they tell us we can't touch our resources? It's the only resource we've got.
Do you feel like there's quite a patronising...
There is, yes. You know, we recommend you do a moratorium. We've had a moratorium for 50 years. Now's the time to get on with it. No, don't patronise us.
It's probably worth mentioning at this point that Jean's husband is a lawyer for Moana Minerals. There are family connections to the industry and she has very strong views on it.
We're in a museum. Mm-hmm. Behind you, I can see lots of cabinets of all the different islands. Mm-hmm. The word Moana comes up every time. What does the ocean mean to a Cook Islander?
Okay. It used to mean a lot, you know, because our lives depended on it. It was our main source of protein. But let's not kid ourselves that it means a lot to us now. You know, all we use it for now is to float around on it. You got to get real. For a lot of people here, the culture is the tattoo, hula dancing. There's more to the culture than just that. You know, if you want to fully embrace your culture, go live off the land. And my home island of Moke used to have about 900 people in the 1970s, and now there's 200, you know, and you ask yourself, where are all these people gone and why?
So is that your hope, that deep sea mining can help bring people back?
Well, government, you know, the buck seems to stop in Raro. They've got the best infrastructure, the best roads, the best water supply, the best electricity. So I'd like to see more tourists go to the Outer Islands, you know. But I'd like to see other things too, like government provides tax breaks, incentives to get people back here. It's very expensive to move back here. And a lot of Cook Islanders dying in New Zealand right now would love to come back here to live out their days. But they can't because there are no dialysis machines here because the government can't afford it. And, you know, I wish for our medical services to improve to that level.
Do you think everyone is set to benefit? There are some people who would feel like there's only certain people that are going to benefit from this, those who've kind of got a vested interest in deep sea mining.
That's a worry. Yeah, that is a worry. They haven't got to a point now where they bought it up and they started, you know, processing it and selling it and making money off it. You know, much as I support it, I'm worried about, you know, the impacts it's going to have. I'm worried about how they're going to distribute the funds. Yeah, I'm especially worried about that.
The funny thing is this, is we as Pacific and Polynesian people, we feel the effects of climate change first. But funny that it's perceived that the solution sits with us. Thank you.
Back at the rally, there's criticism that mining the deep ocean is another exploitative exercise, some may argue colonialist, with foreign mining companies taking advantage of the Cook Islands' natural resources. The government rejects that, arguing that Cook Islanders are very much part of the process and working within the industry, some Cook Islanders at least.
It's your typical small town community, but everyone gets on. But like you get things like this, it really fractures the community.
June Hosking is from one of the Outer Islands, Mauke. It's the same island that museum curator Jean Mason is from.
The Outer Islands is still quite traditional. So there are still families that get together before elections at the table, and the elder will say who they're going to vote for. Okay, so you think about that mentality. And then you get things like a few elections back where someone was giving the bags of frozen chops, like say 5k bag of chops, lamb chops, you know, just like giving them, and it's not a bribe apparently, and it's not it's just a gift, but you know.
But do you need people are swayed then? There's a lot of pressure
I don't know if you even need pressure on these guys. It's more like people don't like to rock the boat in the Outer Islands. So when we have these consultations, man, there's only maybe three of us who would speak up. One was a few years back, and they came in, and the MP started by saying, well, because they've just flown, we belong to one of three islands that are close together, so they fly to one, the next, and the next, right? And we're the last one on the east. So, well, Archie and Mitiaro have already said yes, so it's just up to you to say yes. So this is the beginning of a consultation. There's no pressure there.
So at what point do you put your hand up and say...
So when they have the question time, okay, so then we you know, and I'll say things and then... But those of us who do say something, I mean, I've had someone behind me going, June, sit down, you're just making trouble. Because they think it's shameful. There's still that old thing that you don't want to shame the island by being disrespectful to the Prime Minister. Now, the Prime Minister's wife is married to my husband's cousin, so it's not, you know, everyone knows everyone, right? No, I would challenge even if I didn't know them. I just want people to think. When locals say, oh no, I'll stay neutral on it, I say, you can't drive there, you can't neutral.
This way, this way.
We've come down to the port to wave goodbye to Alana and Rima, who are heading off on their Women in Science expedition. And also waving them off are some familiar faces, the Prime Minister, Mark Brown, and Han Smith.
Get like a kind of message from the cooks to the rest of the world.
Yes.
As you head off on this trip, what would your message be?
I feel like there is, you know, as you've seen this week with the Sail Out rally, that there is communities here that have opposition towards deep sea mining, but at the same time it's a space where we're wanting to gather more information and research to be made better aware about the science, about the environment, about what the potential risk would be. So this is a good step in the right direction.
Wise on three. One, two, three. Wise!
The Cook Islands' greatest provider is its Moana. But as oceans continue to warm and sea levels rise, it's also the island nation's greatest threat. Will mining its ocean floor transform its future or ruin it? There's no easy answer yet. Thank you for listening to this episode of Assignment from the BBC World Service. I'm Katie Watson, and my producer was Lyndall Markwell.